اللهم صل على سيدنا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الدين النصيحة، دين خیر خواہی کا نام ہے، دین is to wish well. Amongst the mu'jizat of Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala blessed him with comprehensive speech. Few words, but the volumes of meanings just come out. And unending. There isn't a point which is not ended. Just as Hazrat Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's beauty was unending. You look, and you continuously look, just look, look, just enjoy, and keep enjoying. Although we are not worthy of seeing Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not at that level. But generally, I notice that those that have got certain qualities, then the ziyarat of Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more frequent. From the people that have that ziyarat, then there is some things in common. As a result, they get that ziyarat. One is, what I've noticed, simplicity with submission. My eldest mentioned this, but with absolute simplicity, submission, happily, doing it and doing it with a cheer. So this class of people see Rasool-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a little bit more often. Not that it is a criteria for acceptance, but it is definitely an encouragement. You're doing and you're seeing, you're watching. And also I noticed that someone is glued to the phone, rightly or not rightly, then very seldom he gets deprived, inshallah. Glued to the phone. And when I say glued to the phone that has got all the wrong type of apps and wrong type of features. So that class of people hardly get it. So the people that have got the phones, then there's two things that happen to them. One is they don't see good things in their dreams, number one. Number two, they may either get involved in gossiping. And number three, the level of respect and adab that is required for progressing in deen, that also begins to evaporate slowly, gradually, slowly, 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 slowly. And it just finishes, just vanishes. So anyway, we're talking about ad-deenu an-nasiha. Deen khair khai ka naam hai. It's about wishing well. Now, some muhaddiseen, they've encapsulated the whole treasure of hadith into four. But this four encapsulates the entire deen. Like, for example, Abu Dawud Sharif, got about 5,800 hadith, right? And then, at some point they will tell you, well, though it's such a big treasure, 5,800, right? But there are four ahadith that will encapsulate all the contents of this kitab. Get the niyat right. So that's quarter of the deen. Leave out layan, that's half of the deen. Halal and haram are clear. So be conscious about it. Be conscious about halal and haram. And also be conscious about things that are of a doubtful nature. That's the third thing. And the third, fourth thing is, you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So as though each one of the hadiths is one quarter of deen. You've got all four, then alhamdulillah, you've got all the deen. And if something is short, then your deen is short somewhere. At some point, your deen is short. So look for it and you'll find that there is a deficiency and you need to correct. Then there is one group of ulama and muhaddiseen that say, but the one hadith that encapsulates everything is ad-deenu an-nasiha. Deen, khair khai ka naam hai. Wish well. Now, wishing well, what does it mean? One is wishful thinking. Wishful thinking, leave it out. Just abandon it. Throw it out. The small children at home now, they imitate Mawlana Khatani. Don't abandon the masjid. So he asked them, Namaz ka padi bhai? Gharma padi. What are you preaching here? On the one side they tell you, don't abandon the masjid. With reading Namaz. So, deen, khair khai ka naam. What is deen? Deen is khair khai. Now, what is khair khai? So, one true guidelines they give you. If you follow those guidelines, you'll get it right. So, one guideline is, aati is kulladhi haqqin haqqaw. Give everybody his right. Give everybody his due. You'll be more concerned about you giving than you receiving. Don't ever think, hey, but he's not reciprocating. He's not returning. I must only give. Don't have that mentality. We're doing our side of it and ensure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. With time, Allah Ta'ala will give him the tawfiq as well. But am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? So someone will explain it in that way. And someone will explain the same thing in a different way. Same thing, but the message is the same. But just that the unwan can be different. The presentation may be different, but the message is the same. So the message is, put everything in place. Isn't that easy? Put everything in place. In its correct place at the correct time. Put things correctly in their place in their time. So that's whole thing. But now to understand that you need a lifelong mission to understand it correctly. Now, let's say put everything in its place, in its time, in its place. What do you mean by that? Can you give an illustration to that? look at simple examples first, then we talk about more examples. Because when illustration comes in, then it settles nicely. You get the whole picture. See, you got a topi, and you got a handkerchief. Now, if you take the handkerchief and use it as a topi, and the topi as a handkerchief, will it look right? It may do the work a little bit, it may do the work, but does it look right? The hanky on the head, and the topi into the pocket, or the topi as a handkerchief, does it look right? Doesn't look right. So, Everything, minor or major, do it rightly. The hadith is so particular about this that you don't even wear a thing in a way that you'll begin to look conspicuous. Don't wear something or don't wear the clothing in a way that you become conspicuous. Like, for example, you're wearing one shoe and walking. Now, how do you look right? You don't look right. So don't do something that you become conspicuous. What's wrong with that person? Why is he wearing one? Oh, he's got one socks on, and he doesn't have the other socks on. How does he look? So whole masjid will look at him. Kya ho gaya? Kya ho gaya? So they also call it libasu shufara. In other words, everybody's eyes will be on you if you do such a thing. Or you got your buttons, for example, the one that is below, you put it on top. And the one that is top, you put below. How do you look? Do you look right? So, Hazrat Rasulullah's teaching was so magnificent, even this appearing tidy correctly, that also is part of his teaching. Libas al-Shuhra. So that's part of his teaching. Don't you appear in a manner that is odd, awkward, etc. Don't do that. So, everything in its place, in its right place, at the right time. If you can understand that, then you've understood deen. But to understand that, you need to understand the place and the time. Who's going to explain the place and the time? If you hear in the hadith that Rasulullah engaged in light-hearted talk, right, at times. You heard the hadith, but you don't know the time and the place. Someone's father's janazah is there, and you start joking with him. Hey, is that the time? But Rasulullah also engaged in some type of humor at times, so what's wrong? So the time and the place for it. Understand it, then you understand the hadith completely. But you didn't understand that. You didn't understand it. Rasulullah gave her the Jafar radiallahu anhu, one expensive apparel, clothing, but it was very expensive. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu put it on. When he put it on, then Rasulullah showed some expressions of disapproval. So he says, Inni lam utikaha, I didn't give you this clothing, you put it on. This clothing was royal clothing, so give it to your friend Najashi, he's also a Muslim, now give it to him. So this clothing was more suited for a king at that position, not for you. For us, a simple, modest clothing is good, but for him it's alright, that's alright if he wears it. So there is a hadith, and there is a time, there is a place, what we'll say application, right? Or circumstance, right? Now, if you understand everything in context, then the application will be right. And if you didn't understand in context, then you'll take that trouble, find out the context. Don't just do it and create an embarrassment for deen. One person is standing, moving train, right? Went out of the toilet. And nowadays, to clear up the urine dripping, right? We'll put some tissue around the place, and after 5-10 minutes, we throw that tissue, and then we make a wuzu, right? But this is a recent thing. In India, they used to be using cloths of clay, hard cloths of clay. So one person is traveling on a moving train, right? Moving train. So he's gone to the toilet, he's come out, and he needs to get the drips off. So he's got the cloth of clay in one hand, and he's got it near his private area. So one Englishman sees this and says, definitely this can't be the teaching of Rasulullah SAW, because Rasulullah SAW, every teaching of his is very dignified. Yes, you need to dry it up, but not like this. You don't have the cloth in your hand in the presence of the public, and you got your hands there. Although the intention is right, what you're doing is right, but you don't do it in the presence of others. See that, dignified. And when you don't understand deen, then the application is not presentable, doesn't look nice. One Englishman accepted Islam, so he's at the wuzukhana, and he sees a lot of mucus gathered in that drain, you know, where they're making wuzu. He sees a lot of mucus gathered there. So he says, what is this? What is this? Can't someone arrange to clean this thing up? Or at least wash it out? So the ordinary Muslim, when he saw this and he heard this Englishman saying this, he says, "Ah, Musliman to ho gaya, lekin angreziyat uski mizaj se nikli nahi." He's become a Muslim, but this English mentality hasn't left him. So that someone tried to sympathize with that Englishman, that this person, they don't know what they're talking about. So, no, don't worry, I know about Islam, and I know how much Islam speaks about purity and cleanliness. People don't know Islam. Therefore, they are misusing things. They don't understand that it's an Islamic teaching to not to leave a place in a messy area, in a messy way. You leave it in a better state than you visited. You're going to the toilet, you leave it in a better manner than you visited it. You entered, you saw it in a state, but after you've left it, you leave it in a better state. If you've got these broad principles, you understand it, you're applying it, applying yourself correctly, presentation is nice, it looks nice, people get attracted to Islam, get attracted to deen. Went to the toilet, perhaps it was messed up. You know, when you're traveling in a plane or a train, sometimes the toilet area is not in a good state. So you cleaned it up, it's dry, crisp, clean. Now someone sees this, what do you say? MashaAllah. See, Muslims, when they enter the toilet, make wuzu, but see how clean, crisp, dry it is, nice.
Now you got water all around, tissues dropped here, tissues dropped there. So I went to make wuzu and I was rushing for my namaz. They don't worry about that. They worried about the humanitarian value. Is there any humanitarian value? Is there any respect for the co-passengers? This is how they look at it. And Islam doesn't make any sharp difference between sacred affairs and secular affairs. If you are careful about sacred affairs, then circular affairs also, Islam doesn't make a disparity, no difference. This is important, that is important. See, when I say sacred, and I said circular, now look at it. Hadith is saying the best of you is the one that is the best to his wife. The best person in a neighborhood is the one that is best to the neighbor. In a whole neighborhood, who's the best person? The one that is the best to the neighbor. Do you see that? Now, whereas the neighbor is not an Islam, outwardly it doesn't look like a sacred thing. Respecting the wife, etc., doesn't sound like a deeni thing. But Rasulullah Pasam is counting this thing that is so-called circular as a religious duty, that person will be counted as the best if he is best to his family. He is counted the best in the community if he is good to the neighbor. So we're coming back to this hadith. Ad-deen wa nasiha. I say, put everything in its place. Give everything its due. But now to understand that what is the right thing, what is the right time, understand the temperament and the mansha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will understand that and you will understand this. It won't be a difficulty. See, the Buzugaradin, Uliya Kiram, Allah allows them to elevate all the time. There isn't a moment, there isn't a second that they're not elevating. All the time it's just elevation. If you are true, you are right, and you're going right way, then Allah Ta'ala keeps escalating you. Because in deen, there's no such a thing like stagnation. If you are right and you're correct, then Allah allows you to progress all the time. See, it's like compared to a tree, right? A tree, either is progressing, green, leafing, and fruiting, right? Or it is dried. If it is green, leafing, and fruiting, it's progressing. And if it's dried, it's drying, now it will deteriorate, right? So there's no such a thing like stagnation, that tree just there for 20 years. Can't happen. It either move, progress, or the condition will just deteriorate. So that's the state of deen. That if you are right, you are right, the mind is right, then you're progressing every second, every moment. Asadullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, I must have met him about 4 or 5 times. He was one of the senior khulafas of Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, based in Saharanpur. Very intelligent, like a genius he was. He's talking to me in English, he'll speak to you in poetry. Arabic to speak to you so fluently. Urdu is a master. Right? At the beginning he was a little bit, we won't say crooked, no. A little bit on the fashionable side. Clothing must be smart, all that, right? And very much against the English. Now that was his youth, 18, 19, very much against. So he's traveling and he doesn't have a ticket. So the conductor comes in, ticket, no ticket. What's your name? Qatil. Your surname? Muqatil. Where are you going to? Maqtal. That's what he'll ask, the conductor will ask that, right? And what's your work? Muqatala. Well, Asadullah doesn't know that the conductor got ta'alluq with Hazrat Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah. He wrote all these things here. I said, one person was coming to Thanabon, and this is what he's, the information that is given. He said, ye to Asadullah ka kaam hoga. Mawla also understood him. Then he changed. How he changed also? Look, you know, I explained simplicity, modesty, and submission. Very top. In his ilm, he's too beautiful, too great. So how he changed also? Just one, two words of Mawla Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah, and he just changed. So he wrote up a letter to Mawla, He says, Suna ke aap mere se naraz hai. I've heard that you are disappointed with me. And he's a great alim, very great. That young age, 19, 20, is very great. Orating, speaking Arabic, Arabic poetry, everything. But a little bit on the fashionable side. A little bit English clothing, etc. So now, look at Mawlana's reply to him. Mawlana understands the fineness of the temperament. So he says, Naraaz to nahi hu, albatta ji chahta hai ki main aapse aur zyada khush ho jaun. One word, Mawlana just capsized him. His Mawlana's address just capsized him in one word. He says, I'm not displeased with you, but my heart wishes to be even more pleased with you. He says, no, I got it now. But Mawlana is referring to, I understood. He just brought the change. And he just kept on escalating. So he says one place, he says, as long as a person has got iman, that means that his heart is right, pure, with iman, right? So iman, then you got sifat. You see, walakin yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. What Allah Pak's focus is, when he grades you and he upgrades you, he elevates you. So what is his focus when he is upgrading you, he is escalating you? So what does he look at? Walaki yanzuru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. He looks at two things. He looks at the sifat, because the heart is where the sifat belongs to. So he looks at your values. Sifat means values. The values are the right. In other words, have you got ikhlas in it? Value means, have you got ikhlas? Or have you got humility? The heart is brimming with humility, modesty, submission, taqwa. All that's the focal point of Allah Ta'ala. One. And number two is your ways and your behavior. Your conduct, your behavior. This is the two points Allah Ta'ala looks at you. And he keeps on escalating. So Mawlana says that a person has got the right values. I'm giving my own explanation, right? This is the gist of what he's saying. And he's got iman. He's got iman at heart. So there isn't a moment that he's not escalating. He's moving up all the time. Just the gift of iman, and it allows you to just escalate all the time. Just moving. As I read that article, my mind just moved. What he's saying here, that if the heart got iman, and the heart is right, you got the humility, your heart is clean of all type of malice, dirt, filth, etc., pride, all that, and you got sincere, your sincerity, you are desirous of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala at all times, you are assigning your affairs to Allah Ta'ala, right? We say tafweez, right? So if these things are right, and you're looking forward to please Muslims for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you want to please them as well. Make them happy. Though at the time, there isn't an opportunity for you to do the work, to show humility at times, there isn't an opportunity. There isn't an opportunity, for example, to please a Muslim. But your heart is brimming that I must try and please a Muslim. I must try and please a Muslim. Some of our senior ulama-i-kiram, old ulama-i-kiram, they had these things. And many of the people that were attached to the senior ulama, then they also followed. Like you'll find, many people in the past, if they see a new person, a new face in the masjid, then they are at the door of the masjid, waiting for the person to come out, and they will force the person to come and eat, and then leave. Those that know Mawlana Tutla Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, Allah fill his grave with nur, they say he had that quality, that namaz, after namaz, he has entrance, waiting out, someone new come in, yeah, take him home. So leave our difference, jamaat difference is one side, but look at the man's quality. So you don't look at one thing and forget all the good that the man does. See, it's a problem with us. We see one small thing that we disagree, and we forget all the good. That's one extreme. And the other extreme is, the person is good, and if it's one mistake that he's making, then we say, no, he must be right because he's so good. So it's an extreme. So we take the good from the person, but if it is an error in judgment, then we don't follow the person in that regard. But by the same token, we don't forget the good that he's done. All his life he's done good now. But because of one error of judgment, we will not say that he did something wrong deliberately. Yes, he construed it in a different way. He understood it in a different way. The way he understood it, he took things accordingly. So we give him the due credit for what he has done. We don't narrow and constrict our hearts. This person is finished now. Don't do that. See, the extremism Allah Pak doesn't like. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فَإِنَّمَا هَلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ بِالْغُلُوِ بِدِينِهِ This extremism Allah Pak doesn't like. People in the past, they got destroyed because of extremism. In the deen, they went to that extremist levels and they destroyed themselves, they hurt themselves, they brought problems for themselves. See, the Christians, right, they also took an extremist line. So, the intentions were good. Intentions was respect, honoring, etc. So the intentions, you cannot flaw the intention. Intention was good. But when they went on the path of honoring, respecting, etc., they elevated it to such a level that they brought the person to divinity, God or Son of God. So the respect in itself, the element of respect was great. The spirit of respect was great. But you know, I say, put everything in its place. Out of place, then the best thing looks like the worst thing. Within the place, the best thing, you just add to its beauty. See, the thing that brings the beauty to a person is the skin, complexion skin, the hair, and the nails, right? This is what brings about the beauty in a person. Obviously now, he must be in right shape now. He can't have a big hajiwala now. You've got the right complexion. So, you've got the complexion, the skin you got right, you've got the hair right, black, thick, nice grey, thick black hair, and the nails are looking right. So that brings about the beauty in a man. It enhances the beauty, right? These things on the body, it enhances, it adds to the beauty of the person. But remove that thing and leave it here, then now it looks like the worst thing. You remove the hair, you remove the skin, you remove the nails left to one side. Now, that same thing out of place, there can't be anything more disgusting. But the same thing in the place, there can't be anything more beautiful. See that? In the place, most beautiful. Out of place, displaced, then the most ugly, most disgusting thing. So this ghulu, we're talking of about extremism. And Allah Pak doesn't like it. This is the thing that destroys the whole deen, destroys it. So they were going in the right way. Christians were going the right way until they went into this extremism. And that extremism destroyed them completely. They went and raised the person to a divinity. Right? When they went and raised the person to divinity, they were destroyed. Khalas. That kafara alladhina qalu, inna Allah wal Masih ibn Maryam, they went out of Islam. They rejected. Then they went on through that path. So, these two things brought about the destruction of Christianity. One is ghulu, this extremism in respect, right? And وَرَهْبَانِيَةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ فَمَا رَأَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. Now to understand this, understand what was happening at that time. Because if you understand it in context, now you understand where they came from. So, just after Isa alayhi salam, there was a group that stood up in defense of Christianity. They're keeping all the values and the teachings of Isa alayhi salam. So they see a wrong, they're correcting it. They see zina, they're correcting it, right? They see some gambling or something, they're correcting it. So, one group stood up to protect the teaching of Isa alayhi salam. So the rulers of the time, they put them away. Anybody stands up, and they put him away. Anybody stands up, he's gone, he's killed. Like what's happening nowadays, right? Anybody stands up in the defense of Islam, right? Then in some country, you put away, khalas. So, you can stand up in the defense of anything wrong, it's alright. But you stand up in the defense of Islam, then you put away. Then you're terrorist and everything. But you stand up for any other wrong value, it's alright. The right value, then you're the worst person, then you must be put away. The wrong value, then they support you. So one group stood up in protection of the Islam of that day, right? And they were put away. So when they were put away, now they felt, hey, what's going to happen? So as these people were killed, a second group stood up. But they said, all right, what we will do is we will remain firm on our deen. We will not be very vocal, all right? We will be vocal but with moderation, but we will not be so vocal like the first group. They put them away as well. So the first group was put away, the second group was also put away. Now it came to the third group. It came to the third group, they said, hey, we can't survive in this. With these circumstances and these conditions, we can't survive here. So what they did, وَرَهْبَانِيَةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا. They invented monasticism, right? What they meant by monasticism was they will give up all comforts and luxuries. They will not get into any luxury, any type of comfort. They will not marry, right? And they won't have permanent residences. They'll move from here to the next place, second, third place, and they'll move on until death overtakes them. But then they did it for the right reason. They did it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. But فَمَا رَأَوْهَا حَقَّ رِعَايَتِهَا. They couldn't maintain it after that. See, they went into their extremism. They believe out every luxury. We won't marry. We won't do this. We won't do that. Whatever. But they couldn't maintain it after that. Now in a josh you say, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. Then how long are you going to maintain it? One person was here. So he said, no, I was reading the Fadail al-Sadaqat. I did everything. I started fasting about 3 months on stretch. Just having one kajur and all that. Coming from a very wealthy, ultra-wealthy background. And very educated. Hey, I couldn't manage it. Then I tried something else. I couldn't manage that. So where I went wrong? He said, you went wrong in a simple procedure. You went and tried threading the path of righteousness on your own, without any supervision. Right? Now, this abstention and all, we talk about abstention, righteousness, tahajjud, etc., etc. You will do all these things, but you will do it as you were supervised, you were monitored. Right? In everything, you need someone to monitor you, to supervise you. And when you got someone to supervise you, it makes the work very much easy, very much simple. But provided you got the tabiat to submit yourself, to humble yourself. And you don't have that, then you are jamming it. The whole road is getting jammed. I'm sorry to say it, but you're jamming the road, you can't move. Then you try, but you can't. You try and you can't. You're just going and you're getting jammed up. You're trying and you get jammed up. But the moment you got that tabiat of submission, oh, I'm going to listen. Come what may, whatever my elders tell me, I'm going to listen. I'll appreciate. Some things maybe I don't understand. I will do it. And if I come to a dead end, I will relate again that I am at a dead end, what do I do? But I will listen. So what happens there is that there is an open communication. The hearts and the minds are open. That I know I can talk to the person freely. But otherwise, you're apprehensive now. Must I tell him or mustn't I tell him? Because I can see now that he is also hesitant. He doesn't give me that level of commitment. But he doesn't give me that level of commitment, so I can't talk to him so freely. So there is a blockage. When there's a blockage, I can't talk so freely. But if there is that open relationship, then you talk and you talk freely. Manzoor Ahmad Nomani Sahib Rahmatullah, this is what his whole story is about. But this part of his story, I liked it. He went through different mashayikh until all those mashayikh passed away and he came to Mawlana Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So as he came to Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Mawlana for some reason took a liking for him. And after Fajr, whilst others are engaged in zikr, Mawlana used to be taking a walk, stroll, right? As per the advice of the hakims and the physicians at that time. And he requested Mawlana Manzoor Nomani to join him. So he asked the others to leave, and Mawlana Manzoor Sahib joined him. So, as Mawlana Manzoor Sahib joined him, So Mawlana said, I've got a quiet moment, I can ask him something. I can see Mawlana is a little bit free and open. And let me ask him. So you see, this is what they want. They want that, see that those reservations, those blockages clear it up. Look for the moment, look for the time, and clear those blockages. So Mawlana also had some reservations. Right. Now, he knew now that for me to benefit, I need to clear the path. So I can see him one shot, you know, I can see through him as though. And what he wants to tell me, he can give it to me one shot, he can see through me. But it's going to be reservations, he'll feel reserved, I'll feel reserved, and there's not going to be any progress. So Mawlana says, I asked him, that, you see what they are doing here, they're striking the heads and making zikr, etc. But is there any support for this in the hadith? So the first day, Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah just avoided the topic. Said, no, what you're doing is great. Writing work, you're writing hadith, etc. Very great work, carry on. So he says, I understood, why I just avoided the topic. Anyway, the second day, the same thing happened. After Fajr, I joined him for the stroll and asked the same question. By the third day, in the evening now, I said, no, you know, I thought about it. I gave it a careful thought. So all these practices of the tasawwuf is not recent. If you look at Indian history, you will see it from Mujaddid al-Fasani Rahmatullah's time. That means 400, 500 years ago. You see it's carrying on. So all these people, they were the revivalists of the world. When they were the revivalists of the world, then it can't be that they were bidatis. How can I say? It's not adding up. It's not consistent. They revived. As though, if you look at Mujaddid Sahib Rahmatullah's contribution, as though if he was not there at the time, as though if he was not there, then Hinduism or Christianity would have wiped out India. Islam wouldn't remain. His work was so magnificent, so great. How he risked himself, he brought it up. So the man that brought up Islam and protected, preserved Islam, he can't be a bidati. There's something wrong with my reasoning. Now the third night, this is what happened to me. But the more I'm waiting for the morning, I'll present myself tomorrow, I put myself, but in a different way. Now he said, when he met him in the third morning, he said, well, I really don't understand this thing. Please, can you explain? Now more explain. So I understood that for the first 2 days, gua ke mein dawa kar raha tha. Gua ke mere andar khud barai thi, khud parasandi thi. Right? As though in the first 2 days, there was some takabbur in me. I'm something, I know about this thing, right? As though there's self-admiration, some recognition of the self. And yeah, you can't move until you don't break yourself. Your opinions, your thought, your understanding, you don't break it. And don't make yourself subservient. You can't just progress. You can't just progress. So, and now, Mawlana saw that now I become subservient, I became submissive, humble. So he opened up to me. And he says, dekho, ye kuch deen samajh karke nahi karte hain. They don't do it thinking it to be part of deen. Mas kuch kaifiyat ko paida karne ke liye karte hain. They just do this, not considering it as part of deen, but to create a certain type of a feeling, a certain type of a drive, to get a certain type of a drive. Now, to understand that drive, I'll give you another story, so you understand what the drive means. Some 27 years ago, we were sitting in Etikaf in the top masjid. One Harun Sahib was gone for Umrah or Hajj, I think. So I was covering up for him. Now, one Jamaat from Ummul Qura, Makkah Mukarrama University, came. So all sitting in Etikaf. So I told the brothers in Etikaf, please, today, going to your tents, and don't make zikr al-jahri, please. Don't make zikr with striking your heads, and now don't make that. Because they'll come for me afterwards. This Arab Jamaat will come for me. The professor there, a couple of lecturers there, they'll come for me, they will leave you people. One person got in the Josh, two, three people got in the Josh, they started. Who is this now? He can't tell what to do and all. Referring to the Arab Sheikh, right? They are swinging their heads, making loud zikr. Exactly as I told them, the professor came straight to me. Wow, this is bidat. Now, there's a different approach to answer these people, right? One is a long step-by-step you explain them. One is to circumvent the whole thing and give them the explanation, right? So I tell him, you know, Sheikh, you know, I was in the Haram Sharif some years ago. And on the second floor, I saw his classes, you know. One class here, second class, about 20, 30 classes were running simultaneously, you know. And I saw those children, they swinging their heads and learning Quran Sharif. Alif Lam Mim Zalik Al-Kitab. Alif Lam Mim Zalik. So, is this a sunnah, no? Sheikh, is this a sunnah? He says, no. Hum yaf'aluna hadha litanshid. They're just doing it to get some type of a drive, you know, motivation. So, wallahi, hum aidan yaf'aluna hadha litanshid. These people also, that are swinging their heads, they do it for what? They do it to create a certain drive, a certain feeling. Anta rajulun zakiyya, you're very intelligent. You must have got to give explanations like this. So, I asked him, I asked the Shaitan, I must use stupidity. I'm using intelligence, so I must give them stupid advice. What? So he laughed it out, I laughed it out, the short story finished up. Right? So, Mullah Raipuri Sabram, he needed that mind to be open, number one. He needed that level of submission, that the khuddari, manmani, yes, zati barai, all that he needed that to be collapsed before he could initiate him. So it took him 2 days. But Mu'ala could understand. Mu'ala had the level of sincerity, but just that small, he went through a patch where he couldn't understand this, he couldn't relate to this. But when he realized that this is the problem, so he humbled himself straight away. So I can't waste my time. I can't waste my time. I need to progress. If I'm doing something, then I must give my heart and my soul, and I need to move on. If this is a stumbling block, I need to move it out of the way and move on. So then Mona says, you know, to her more right, Puri Sab Rahmatullah Ali. Okay, but these people are sitting in the Khanqah, they're making 100,000, 150,000 zikr, 200,000 zikr. I can't manage this thing. Is there any way for me to progress in this path? He's asking something pertinent. So Mu'a said, yahi to musibat hai. This is the problem. Jo kaam karne ke aadmi hote, jo kaam ke aadmi hote hai, wo to aate nahi. Samajhte hai ke hum ho nahi sakta. Those people that have the potential to progress, they aren't coming. Why they aren't coming? Because they feel that they can't cope with the type of work we give them. Or jo bekaar kisam ke aadmi hai, wo aate hamare paas. People don't have that level of understanding, the level of capturing concepts. They are coming here. Right? Small, the young, the old, they either young or old, but they don't have the understanding of these. From the sticks, from someone coming from the village, he doesn't have the understanding. But they don't have any other work. We keep them here and we continue with them. Right? Why don't you ask? You ask, this is my activity and I will show you. And with all that you are doing, you can also progress. Just 1-2 things we will tell you. This is what you do. And inshallah, you will also make a progress. If these are people that are making progress and they're moving on, then you can also equally make progress. You can also gain. Just 2-3 things we'll tell you. Make a little bit of zikr. You know, take about half an hour to complete the whole day. And just rectify your intention in whatever you are doing. And number 3, see that your namaz is done on time. Number 4 is don't get involved in fights, arguments, debates, or layani talks. Is that anything difficult? You don't get involved in any other unnecessary discussions and talks. The zikr will take about half an hour. See that your namaz is on time. And see that your niyat is right. Whatever you're doing, small or big work, you're writing something. But see that your niyat is right. Your niyat hasn't moved on. And I notice after that, if you look at all the dates after that, Mulana's writings had a different effect altogether. You know, Mulana's writings had a total different effect. Most of you will not know, right? But around the 1980s, 79, 80, 81, was the Irani Revolution. It was an Ayatollah Khomeini, right? And I think, I won't be exaggerating, if all the South Africans and all the Western Muslim world were for Khomeini. Hey, they said he's the buzruk of the time. He's the person, he's the champion. He's Mona Umarji Sabram, Allah gave him abundant qualities. I think he had a heart like an ocean. He could take so many people's nonsense, but yet he would still endure and carry on. Persevere and just carry on. But he must have a magnanimous heart. He must to do something like that. So on the one side, he maintained a very good relationship, extremely good relationship with all the senior ulama in India, Pakistan. In fact, one day he called me in confidence. He says, you know, we made a small collection, right? Now that time, I remember 79-80, money was still tight, right? Very tight, because the average salary, good salary at that time was about 300 rands. That was a good salary, right? It was like 200 rand, you're breaking even. The domestic worker salary at that time was 14 rand. How much? 14 rand. So you can imagine now how it escalated after that, right? Now, I won't be surprised if the domestic worker would charge you 14 rands an hour. Maybe more than 14 rands an hour right now. But then it was a month salary, right? So Moran had made a fund for that as well. Looking after all these people, talking to them, reporting what's going on, asking their advice, not feeling independent of them. See, although they are in India and Moran is here, but for a moment he doesn't feel that I am independent of them. So he's asking. So when Moran saw this now, Umar Sahib Rahmatullah saw this, he wrote up to Moran Manzoor Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and this is what's going on. So Moran took about a month or 2 months, and he prepared a whole kitab, Irani Revolution, I don't know how it's written in Urdu, but he wrote a whole kitab. And then Moran made another effort, he called Allama Khalid Mahmood Sahib. So when these two things came in place, Allama Khalid came in, he had a talk in City Hall, I was there, right? At that time, I should be still going at the hall, right? I was there, and then this kitab came up. And then that brought about another revolution, where this Irani revolution was taking place. Even the masjids had supported him at the beginning. Maybe more, Haji Sahib will know it. Yeah? Even masjids had supported him. So Moran, Umarji Sahib's sight was so much. He had seen things, he understood it. What's the whole plan? He wrote up on Moran Manzoor Sahib, in 2 months the kitab was out. And then he phoned up to Allama Khalid Sahib, he had his programs there. And the whole thing just changed around again. See. So Maulana's writings had taken a different turn after that. But everything boils down to this one point: he maintained a good and a sound and a beautiful relationship with these elders. He never cut it off. Although maybe there were differences of opinion, one place here, there, or whatever. But he didn't sever the relationship. When he didn't sever the relationship, as though you can say safely that he is one of the saviors of this country. He brought them on track again. Otherwise, I can imagine very well what could have happened to our faith, or iman, etc. What could have happened? But you see, what was the thing? He maintained the connection. He tried and support. Moran Manzoor Nomani was so happy with him. Manzoor Sahib Nomani was the member of Shura of Darul Deoband, right? So, he's coming to Deoband and coming by rickshaw. So it was perhaps in the evening, and that rickshaw driver, he must have misbalanced, and he just capsized. So Moran broke his foot. I think within a week, Moulana had sent a nice, good, very good, sound wheelchair from here. Because these type of comforts were not so freely available on that side. Moulana was so happy with it. I was immobile, and you mobilized me. You see, he looked for the opportunity, and how, we're going to do things, but now, how to do it. Zara soch karke, samaj karke, where the avenues, how to do things. So Moulana had that heart. Allah given him that sight and that vision. Now for us is, the work for us is now all these elders of the past, as though they did everything for us. Now for us, with respect, just sit at the table and eat nicely. All the gems, the good, the values, the beauty, the nourishment that they have left behind, don't waste it, don't be abusive, don't disregard them. Appreciate them, say the Jazakallah, and continue. Say that. Keep thanking them and continue. When Namaz Shuri, I was thinking, a long time this thought is coming, but we say that without the Durood Sharif and Salam on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our Namaz is incomplete. Don't we say that? So, but why Allah Ta'ala has made such an important thing that the namaz is incomplete? Because it's a token of appreciation. We need to know where these things came from. If Islam reached us, and we're so happy about Islam, then do we identify with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Do we show the level of gratitude that this thing came from him? So are we showing that? So in namaz now we'll be doing that salam, salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, with that heart of appreciation, with that heart of gratitude. Ya Rasulullah, you know, sometimes I think when I'm making dua, reading Durood Sharif or something, I think to myself, if it weren't for him, we would have been worse than animals, really. We wouldn't have had values at all. Absolutely no values. You see how his gaze and all these things are happening. We would have been worse than all these people. وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Look at that verse. يَتْلُوا عَلِهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَإِن كَانُوا مِن قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ. Open wrong. Absolutely gone. Like animals we are behaving. It was Rasulullah and his teaching and the Sahaba Kiram that brought us and caused, made us look like human beings. Otherwise we would have gone, completely gone. He made us look as a human being. If you just study the history of what was going on and the contributions of the Sahaba Kiram, the Rasulullah, then you begin to realize, alright, these are the contributions. Because of these people's hard works, we are enjoying. Now, our duty is like we are commanded to appreciate. So, everyone that is coming on the line, we appreciate it. Every person, that's why we say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. See that? Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi salihin. So you identify, recognizing and appreciating every person that came on the line. Who brought this to you. So what respect, what gratitude, what love. What are you supposed to be showing? One friend of mine says he saw a dream, right? So the discussion is going on that you respect ulama kiram. You respect ulama kiram. You may have seen the dream just a few days ago. But there's an important lesson, therefore I'm relating. It's my duty to keep talking about dreams. So he says that he's advising the person that you respect ulama kiram, or someone is advising, whoever is advising, but respect them. Obviously those ulama kiram that are adhering to the sunnah. Right? And I don't say that they are free of faults. There may be a mistake here or there. But the attempt is to conform to the sunnah properly, correctly. Right? So you respect them. Don't ever disregard them. Don't ever show, don't badmouth them in the presence or in the absence. And I say, by even in your heart, don't have any malicious feelings about them. Otherwise you're jamming your path. You're stopping your path. So anyway, that person ignored him in the dream now. So now, he's like this, and this person, this alim is like this. So he's seeing in the dream thereafter that that beard that person was wearing actually just began to fall off. And he's seeing really, he's seeing it exactly now, that his whole face is changing into the face of an ugly beast. But this is approximately what Gangohi Sabramta says, that those people that disrespect and disregard our respectable ulama kiram, those that are showing the path of sunnah, go and look at them in the graves, their faces are turned away from the Qibla. See that? But these people that are attempting, working towards this, I don't say they're infallible. They may have made mistakes here and there. But our duty is to respect them, cover their mistakes, follow them, right? And the greater thing is have an open relationship. See, Manzoor Sahib, he had to come in, right? But he had some reservations. When he had the reservations, he took the trouble to go and clear the whole thing, alright? I got a problem here, I don't understand this. How this works in, how does this fit in? In that first 2 days, he cleared it up. Now the road just opened up for him. Now, Abdul Qadir Sahib, Raipur Alhamdulillah, is one of his favorites. Mawla's favorite, Mawla Manzoor Sahib, or Mawla Alimiya Sahib, amongst his favorites. Right? But he understood that I have got some things, some areas that I need to clear, that's interrupting the whole thing. Let me go and clear my mind, and then I'll start it off. Not that you start off and then do the clearing. You clear all the things that are jamming the path or clouding the path. You clear that up, and then you move on. So we were talking about ad-deenu an-nasiha. Deen, khair khai ka naam hai. And that khair khai, how it is to be done, where, how, when, those illustrations will be blessed by Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like the Quran says, speaks about having a clean heart. قَدَ فْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى مَنْ زَكَّى. Right? So, the heart only becomes right and clean when it's got the right shaping. If it doesn't have the right shaping, then it's not right. You need the heart to be pure. إِلَّا مَنَتَ اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. With the right shaping. And without the shaping, it doesn't have a value. See, the meat is clean. Meat is clean, absolutely clean. There's no dirt and filth. But if it is not prepared, will you eat it? Will you enjoy it? And if it is prepared, but it's prepared incorrectly, then too you will enjoy it. So you need the meat to be nice, the right type of meat, and the preparation to be right. You give it the right shape, the right texture, then it's enjoyable. So the same happens to the heart, that it needs to be clean, but you have to apply the sunnah. And the sunnah will be understood best by your predecessors, people that have come before you, right? Ulama ikram, that have come before you, they've understood some things. And on our side, our problem is either we've got a blockage, right? And we're not clearing the blockage, right? We're not worried about it. No, we're doing it. So, we may be progressing in other avenues, but in this avenue, we're not progressing. We're not progressing in this avenue. So, the way to progress is then clear all this thing out. Whatever inconsistency, whatever reservation, hesitation, problem, misunderstanding, go and clear this thing up. When that is cleared up, then the road opens up. When the road opens up, now you see, this calling, this moving, this escalating. So now, see, we're saying, put everything in its place, right place. Aati kulla dhi haqqin haqqam. Give everybody his due. Now, the hadith will say, for example, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fal yukrim dhaifa. Honor your guest. Now, what does it mean by honor your guest? In this age and time, what do you think will be honor your guest? Take him to Manjras and give him a meal there. Or take him to Steers and give him a meal there. What does it mean? Now the hadith will tell you exactly how, to what extent you will show respect to your guest. What type of guest? One is, person came specifically to see you. And one is, he came for some walima in Spingo, for example, and by the way, he came to see you. So these are two different type of guests. Now how will you see the guest? What does it mean to respect the guest? How do you respect the guest? What do you do? Or for example, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim jara. Look after your neighbor as well. Now what does it mean to look after your neighbor? What does it mean to look after your father, your parents? So from the collection of the hadith, when you talk about parents, there's about three things that the hadith speaks about. One is respect them. Waqfid lahuma. Humble yourself in their presence. Respect them. Lower your voice. Don't talk above. Although they may not say it, they may smile. But you need to have that tawfiq, that grace, that this is my father, my mother, my elder, my ustad. I need to lower my voice. Talk with humility. From the tone you can make the person out, whether he's talking with humility or with a little bit of an attitude and arrogance, how is he talking? Now we need to understand. I used to wonder at that time. After all, these mashayikh also are men, right? When they are men, they have the same feelings as you have. So if you were to talk to them in an inappropriate manner, it leaves that stain in their hearts. This is how he's talking. Because they are human beings. When they are human beings, then they get affected. You can't say that they're oblivious, they don't get affected. Rasulullah is advising al-Washi that don't come in front of me. So he's human, although he's accepted Islam. And Islamu yahdimu ma kana qablu, everything is demolished. But now, as a human being, you get affected. When you get affected now, don't come in front of me so that I don't reminisce all the past that you've done. So now, how do you respect your parents, your elders? What do you do? One is you respect, whether it's in your tone, in your attitude, in how you behave before them. You show some level of respect. You don't become like Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. When they inviting him, لَوَّوَ رُؤُوسَهُمْ وَرَأَيْتَهُمْ يَسُدُّونَ وَهُمْ مُسْتَكْبِرُونَ He shows an attitude. So he says also, well, ask me to read namaz, I'm doing my namaz. Now what do you want? You want me to make sajda for the man? See the attitude. What was concealed within him, it had to surface. But that same thing now made the person the Ra'is al-Munafiqin. He showed attitude, he showed arrogance. From where? From this point, where there was some chance for the person to still come right. But he became the Ra'is al-Munafiqin. When he uttered this type of words, what? Well, ask me to read namaz, I did my namaz. You ask me to give zakat, I did. Now what must you do? I must go and serve salta to the man. See where you took it. He disregarded the personality of Rasulullah SAW. In due course, what happens to the person? So one is the respect. Right? One is to see to the comfort of the parents, elders, parents, to see to their comfort. Are they comfortable, both physically, mentally, emotionally? Are they comfortable? It doesn't mean that I see to them financially and I have done my duty. No. Emotionally also, are they happy? Are they comfortable with you? Right. So one is respect. One is they are comfortable with you. Whichever way, whatever it requires. But you show them the comfort. Whatever it requires. Number three is you show love to them. In the presence and in the absence, you show love. Right. Whichever way you can do it, making dua for them. Right. If they are alive, you're making dua. You are at their presence. Right. They require something. You're telling them something that will cheer them up, that will brighten them up. Oh, Thiru, this is what happened. So they feel so nice. My child comes and he talks to me so nicely. It brightens me. So if you're doing this with your elder, your junior will show you the same respect. He will show you love. He will show you respect. And he will make your life comfortable at the time that you need him. See, we lose cognizance of the fact at times that we feel that this youth and this energy that we got is eternal. We don't realize it's just like a flicker on a match, you know. It comes there and it's gone. The youth just comes for a short while and before you know it and it's gone. See? So we don't realize. So these three things, it encapsulates so many hadiths. You respect them, as I shall explain. Make their lives comfortable and cheer them up. Cheer them up. Respect them is obviously to obey them. You will respect them. It will require that you obey them as well. It's a small little thing. Small little things, and it cheers them up. I don't say this out of boastfulness or pride. But I remember as long as my parents were alive, my mother, father, if I need to go for a small program, I will tell them, I'm going here for the program, make dua for me. So they'll ask you, where are you going? I said, this way I'm going to. Right? So the kaparaza join a jaje. Look at your clothes, all tidy, all that. Well, I got a problem from before. When I buy the attar now, so some stains will be on the clothing. So they're conscious about it. So just to please them, then I change the kurta or whatever. But I'll leave after that. I come back, I have to give them a small kalguzari. They feel nice, they feel happy, and carry on. But now, it may seem to be a small thing. But what a difference it makes. This child, right, he went, and we could tell him something. We could tell him openly what we wanted to tell him. Otherwise now, they will feel, in apne ek vaad bhi kiya to moh chali jaye. Say one thing and he pulls up his face. Apne nahi kiya to dharo. We don't tell him anything is better. So I ask you, are their hearts open towards you? Are you getting their full blessings? Are you getting their duas? It doesn't make a difference. It's a little bit you spoke to them nicely, respectfully, lovingly, caringly. And what a change it makes. I have to tell so many people nowadays, if your parents have got a difference, but you don't become the referee. You don't take sides and don't become the referee, please, for Allah's sake. Then what must we do? Allow them to carry on. I said, by in the absence of the mother, speak good about the father. Or in the absence of the mother, speak good about the mother. In the absence of the father, speak good. Pretty good now, the mother's amen. You know, I'm looking at him so negatively. My child sees so much of good in him. Perhaps I must look at him from a different angle. Now, with time, the time heals all the wounds of the past. But now you start taking sides. Yeah, he's like this, man. He's like this. And you're supporting, the child is supporting. What happens? So if the father was negative against the mother, it becomes more negative. If there was a gap, then you're just broadening the gap. So these are very simple, simple procedures how to go about doing things. My Ustad, Rahmatullah, Abdul Rahman Sahib, Rahmatullah, I'm very heavily indebted to him, right? And I don't think that I will be able to repay. In fact, almost, I don't think I'll be able to repay. But he understood now how we live, right? Three, four families were living together. Right? So, he said, now, if you have to live with your parents, so he's giving me advice now. If you have to live with your parents, that remember, you don't take your wife's side, nor take your parents' side. They will have the kish-kish carrying on. Something, some difference. One will say, make kari kishi today. Others say, no, make masood today. So they will have some problem within them. But you don't fall in their differences. You show respect to both because you need your wife, right? And you can't ignore her. And you need your mother also. You can't ignore her duas. But to keep the whole thing going well, you show respect, love this side, and love that side as well. Don't you fall into their discussion. You don't fall into the discussion. Don't ever do that. You fall into the discussion, they want to say, I've been with this child here for 25 years. This man has stolen my love. What I invested into this man, I did everything for him. Now this man just came here, stupid thing came here, and she just stole my child from me. Now this is how she'll turn it around. And if you want to take too much of your wife's part, too much of your mother's part, the wife will turn around. The wife will say, yeah, you got married to me or got married to her? Who you are married to? So both ways, you caught this side, you caught that side. So the easiest way, don't you fall into their dispute. Don't ever. They'll have something I notice myself. If women are getting a little bit heated up, right? It will last maybe 3 minutes, 5 minutes. And after that, they'll be like normal. You'll look like the bad person because you took sides. And in 3-4 minutes, they're back to normal. Hazrat Ji Ahmad should say, bachche ko dekho, there's a thing to learn from these children. Small little children, and there's a lesson to learn from them. He says, dekho, unka seena bekeena. Abhi ladte hai, aur abhi dost nahi kar dete hai. Don't you see that? Small little children. There's no malice, there's no filth in their hearts. They fought us now, he hit him, and he punched him, and in 3 minutes, everything is forgotten. Doesn't it happen? Unka seena bekeena. Isn't that a lesson to be learned from these children? All children, hearts are so clean. And he says, second thing to learn from them, from the children, is unke jee mein takabbur aur khud ki barai hai hi nahi. They don't have a thing like pride and arrogance. Abhi aapne naye kapre pehna diya. You put them, mother will wash them nicely, and put the Johnson powder, and put the clothing, all that, everything they will do, right? They put all that new clothing. And in 2 minutes, you give them one chocolate, the whole clothes, all the clothes are dressed up. So they don't think much about themselves. Nothing at all about themselves. So there's no such a thing like, they don't have a sense of pride. Absolutely no pride. They're not worried about who is watching them and who's listening to them. Child is sitting alone and he starts reading on Kirat. So he's not worried about the people that are around. So there's no such a thing like pride in them. But aren't there lessons for us to learn? That if the child could be so clean, though he hadn't been initiated into tasawuf, right? He didn't learn his lessons, but his heart is so clean. He's got no pride about himself, no airs about himself. Then aren't there lessons for us to adopt? We don't look, in this situation we'll say, unzur ila ma qal, wala tanzur ila man qal. You won't say now, who did it? Who did it? Was it a qualified professional person? Or was it a small, immature little child? But the lesson is genuine. This little child that hasn't been schooled, hasn't been tutored yet, but the lesson that we learn out of him is absolutely wonderful. That there's no malice in the hearts. Hearts are absolutely clean. There is no such a thing like pride and arrogance in them. I definitely need to learn it. As a result, you see that child, when the hearts are so clean and so immaculate, right? There's no thought of pride and arrogance about how do I look? What's my reputation like? What people think about me? You just put the child on the bed, in 1 minute he's gone, he's sleeping, fast asleep. The hearts are so good. The minds are so clean. In a second, they're sleeping. Class, and end of them. See this? Ad-deenu an-nasiha. Allah baktufi nasiha.